You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. Today, we are going to break down the free agent signings of the Philadelphia Eagles. No big splash moves from the Philadelphia Eagles, as expected. You know, no money to really do so. So they're hitting the bargain bin. They're going to scrape the bottom of the barrel, try and find some value and see what guys are available. And we've had three signings dating back to last night into today. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 5 p.m. I'm recording this, so bringing some information to you guys about the new Eagles on the roster, starting with a new running back in town with Kenneth Gainwell leaving and signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There was kind of a new opening. We expect a bigger role for Will Shipley, but an opening for backup running back behind Saquon Barkley, and the Eagles are going to fill that void with former Packers running back A.J. Dillon. They signed Dillon to a one-year deal yesterday, bringing him in here to be kind of, I don't even want to say it's thunder and lightning. It's like thunder and thunder with those two back there. A.J. Dillon, still just 26 years old. He spent four seasons with the Packers. He will now join Saquon and Will Shipley in the backfield now that Gainwell is moving on. Now, Dillon is interesting because I liked him a lot coming out of college. There's tweets out there of me scouting him back when he was getting drafted, and now he's here some 5 years later. Dillon missed the entire 2024 season with a neck injury. He spent the entire season on injured reserve, but has since been medically cleared by doctors to return. So I think this is a good low-risk, high-reward situation for A.J. Dillon. They can use Dillon late in games so you can limit the mileage of Saquon Barkley. Dillon is a hard runner, strong runner. Might have the strongest backfield in the NFL, honestly, because between Saquon and A.J. Dillon, Saquon can squat 700 pounds. A.J. Dillon can squat 675 pounds. Dillon's also called the quad father, quadzilla. They both got quads for days. So they might, that tush push might be going for 6 or 7 yards now. They might run the tush push on first down with the three of them able to squat 1,700 pounds between the three of them. It is insane stuff. But A.J. Dillon is an intriguing guy. You know, he had three straight seasons of 600 plus rushing yards while serving as Aaron Jones' primary backup. So I think he still has some juice to him. Just still young, 26 years old, like I mentioned. I think he still has some stuff to give. We'll have to see if the health checks out. I kind of view this as more of a glorified like Rashad Penny signing. Rashad Penny, we all know how that worked out. He didn't play a whole lot, if at all, when he was here. I think A.J. Dillon can offer you a little bit more. I think this is going to help the Philadelphia Eagles preserve Saquon throughout the year. Those miles add up throughout the season. It worked out well for them last year because, you know, he was able to sit the last game and all that stuff. But I think that if the Eagles have sizable leads in games next year, you'll be able to run A.J. Dillon in the fourth quarter of a lot of these games and be able to get kind of the same effects, be able to run down defenses, wear down defenses, and not put such a big load on the second-year player, Will Shipley, who I think will, as a result of this, be the third down back, be kind of the pass-catching down guy they rely on. I remember a lot of third downs this past season. Kenneth Gainwell was always in there on third downs. He was their pass catcher guy. He was their scat back, change of pace kind of dude. Will Shipley will probably be that for them this year with A.J. Dillon getting some of the power running duties in the fourth quarter when they want to run out the clock and not put Saquon at risk of injury late in games and games of out of reach. So I think this is a good signing for the Eagles. We don't have figures yet on the deal, but I don't anticipate it'll be a lot of money. I think this will be. I know Miles Sanders got released, and a lot of people were hoping to reunite the Penn State backfield and all that stuff, but I don't think the Eagles had any interest in doing that. A.J. Dillon made sense from where the Eagles are at this point in time. The next free agent, a more intriguing one, I think, because the Eagles now, you know, the depth at edge rusher is there. There's not much there now with Josh Sweat moving on to sign with the Cardinals and the looming retirement of Brandon Graham. We're waiting any day for that announcement. I don't think he's coming back. But now you have Nolan Smith, you have Jalix Hunt, and now you need some more guys in there. And the Eagles went and found a young one. They have signed Josh Uche to a one-year deal to come in and serve as some edge rusher depth. Uche, also only 26 years old, he was linked to the Eagles ahead of last year's trade deadline, but the Chiefs came in and they were able to acquire him for a six-round pick, and he didn't even really find a role with the Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't play a lot. I think he played only like 30 or 40 regular season snaps. He played a lot of snaps in the season finale, but that doesn't really count. Didn't play at all for them throughout the playoffs and was inactive in the Super Bowl like Bryce Huff was. So whatever vision the Chiefs had for him, it didn't come to fruition. We'll have to, you know, if you, a lot of me are asking like, why didn't it work out with the Chiefs? You got to go ask Spags. I don't know why it didn't work out, but if you know, can't find a role in Spags' defense, that's kind of discouraging. But, you know, you don't want to look too much into those things because Uche does have a lot of talent. He spent four seasons with the New England Patriots. I remember in the 2023 season opener, he actually sacked Jalen Hurts, and I remember seeing his name a ton in that game. His most productive season came in 2022, where he had 11.5 sacks, 49 pressures, and 14 QB hits. Now, these numbers can be a little of smoke and mirrors. I went to go see, like, how did these sacks come about? Where did he get these sacks? And looking back, 10 of those sacks came in a six-week span, and that included two games where he had three sacks. So it could be some, fool's gold. It could be some smoke and mirrors. Could be some one-trick pony stuff going on here. We were already fooled once by the Bryce Huff 10-sack season, and we don't really want to fall into that with the Josh Uche stuff. But the difference here is that Uche has a minimal deal, and we handed Bryce Huff $51 million. So there is the distinction. If Uche doesn't work out, it's not hampering the team. You try not to think about where that money could have been spent if it wasn't given to Bryce Huff. Maybe you could have kept CJ, and maybe you could have paid Isaiah Rodgers, whatever, what have you. But now you have to hold on to Bryce Huff because that contract is so detrimental. Even when you try to get off it, it has substantial cap hits. So you're stuck with Bryce Huff for another season pretty much. You got to see what you can get out of him. But I like what I see from Uche. We'll see if he can find a role here. We'll see what Fangio can do with them. I can't scoff at any defensive signings up to this point because we all remember all of our reactions when they signed Zach Bond last season, a rotational edge rusher, a special teamer. Didn't really know what position he was playing. Uche, we know he's an edge rusher. Maybe he can be a third down guy, you know, just get after the quarterback on third and long. I'm okay with that. But Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt are surely going to be the focal points. And this doesn't eliminate the Eagles from taking an edge rusher in the first round. I think that is quite the possibility. If you were to ask me today, what position are the Eagles drafting in the first round of next month's draft? I would say pass rusher. I think that is where they go. James Pierce Jr. Is a name a lot of people have circled that could be within the Eagles' range. We'll see what happens on that. But Uche could be a nice piece to this rotation. I have high hopes for him. We'll see what Fangio can do with him once he sees him on the field. And maybe, hey, he has another vision for him. Like he saw Zach Bond, looked at him and said, that's an off-ball linebacker. This Uche is not going to play off-ball because that's N'Kobe Dean's spot. But I trust Vic Fangio to put Uche in the best position to succeed. The talent is there. He was a former second rounder, so he has the tools. We'll see what Fangio can do with him.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Eagles made one more signing today on the offensive side of the ball, and it's a tight end. They signed tight end Harrison Bryant to a one-year deal worth $2 million. Now, a lot of people see this deal, and they're like, oh my God, Dallas Goedert is out of here. I don't think this deal is an indication of what they plan to do with Dallas Goedert. Now, from what I've heard, we know that the Eagles are trying to seek a fourth round pick for Dallas Goedert. They have given Dallas Goedert a permission to seek a trade. Now, I feel like if a third rounder was on the table, a trade would have been done already. So I don't think a fourth rounder is realistic. And it really would not shock me if Dallas Goedert was cut at some point. I do not think he's back here next season. I don't think he wants to take less money. You know, he's entering, we've talked about it before, he's entering the final year of his deal. still plays at a high level. I don't think he's going to take less money to stay in Philadelphia. But I don't think Harrison Bryant alters that a whole lot. Harrison Bryant is a really, really good blocker. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have the receiving ability. He has 98 receptions for 877 yards and 10 touchdowns in his career. He spent his first 4 years with Cleveland. Had some nice plays with Baker while he was there, with Joe Flacco. I remember a long catch and run that Flacco hit him on in a playoff game against the Texans. So the receiving talent is certainly there. He was an All-American in 2019 when he played for FAU. He won the John Mackey Award, the award for best tight end in college football. He won that. He had a 1,000-yard season in his final year at FAU. So he has the receiving talent. It's just that it hasn't really amounted to anything in the NFL, and he's become more known as a blocker. In 2022 via PFF, he was a – I'm sorry, 2023 via no, I was right the first time. My apologies. In 2022 via Pro Football Focus, he was the fifth-highest pass blocker among tight ends, the fifth-highest graded pass blocker amongst tight ends. And then in 2023, he was the second-highest graded pass blocker amongst tight ends. So he's a really good blocker, and you have Calcaterra here, who's a good vertical threat. And if you mold maybe Harrison Bryant and Grant Calcaterra into one guy, you have one really solid tight end, but it doesn't look like that's the case. So you have Calcaterra, you have Harrison Bryant, you have EJ Jenkins, who caught a touchdown pass from Tanner McKee in the season finale. So you have some tight ends there. I just don't think this is really an indicator of Dallas Goedert's future, whether it be here or not. I'm inclined to think it won't be here. I'm also inclined to believe that the Eagles will take a tight end in the draft. We've been hammering the table for them to take a tight end for a couple years now as Dallas Goedert gets older and continues to deal with injuries and stuff like that. But I like Harrison Bryant for what he is. He has some nice plays on tape, really good blocker, and can come into this depth chart and do a lot of the dirty work. We all know Sirianni likes his dirty work guys with Olamide Zaccheaus and Zach Pascal. And now you have they tried to do something with CJ Uzomah last year, but that didn't work. And now we have Harrison Bryant on this depth chart. So those are the moves right now as for the Philadelphia Eagles, making some external signings. Nothing that's going to break the bank because they're not in a position to do so. They're trying to clear space so they can pay all these all their core guys in the future. We talked about it on the last pod when we broke down the CJ Gardner-Johnson trade. And I'm still upset by it. I understand it. I'm still upset, and I'm kind of a little upset about the Isaiah Rodgers thing. But again, they weren't going to pay Isaiah Rodgers to potentially be on the bench if Ringo looks really, really good in camp. And I think they're really banking on Ringo to make some noise in the summertime. So we'll see what else the Eagles do. I do anticipate some movement in the safety market. It's not going to be Reed Blankenship and friends going into next year. I think they'll make some noise. I know some people were clamoring for Marcus Williams, who got released by the Ravens yesterday. Let me remind you all that this is not the Marcus Williams of 2022. He went to Baltimore and immediately became horrible. So I don't think the Eagles have any interest in that. The Justin Simmons rumors are still running around. We'll see what happens there. But I do expect some movement on the safety front, whether it be trade or maybe they do something in the draft. Maybe Howie will draft one. Everybody's saying he won't draft Malachi Starks. He ain't taking a safety in the first round. They said he wasn't taking a corner. He took a corner last year early in the draft. They said he wasn't paying a running back. He made Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back in history. They said he wasn't going to pay a linebacker. He paid Zach Bond $17 million a year. Maybe it'll shock us all and get us to safety. You have Malachi Starks in here that kind of eases the pain of losing CJ a little bit. But we'll talk about all that as the NFL draft approaches. Thank you all for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am Victor Williams. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast. Follow me on all social media platforms over at The Philly Pod to stay up to date on all news related to the Philadelphia Eagles. I will catch you guys on the next one, y'all. Till then, peace out from The Philly Pod.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan.
It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today.
Oh, O'Reilly!